That's right after our refuge. It begins, actually, in the part B of the refuge prayer, just above it. So the refuge prayer even says refuge and generating bodhicitta. Everybody's clear on what the bodhicitta is? I mean, everybody's, oh, it's compassion. I mean, literally. It means enlightened mind. Or an aspiring mind. You're generating this mind that is now conditioned and properly fertilized and prepared for enlightenment at this level, right? Because you're already enlightened. It's just we're not somehow aware of that. So we're generating all of the proper mental conditions to have the enlightened mind ripen in it. Meaning our awareness. And so it says, the only way that we can really do that is through virtues of the six paramitas, six perfections. We say giving or generosity, and then the other five. We don't go through the whole list. At home, you could. You could say, through the virtues of generosity, patience, discipline, and go through the whole list. But the big one in here is, may I become a Buddha for the benefit of all. So, through virtues that you collect by doing the five perfections, which establishes you on... Anybody know what path?
Bodhisattva path.
Bodhisattva path is the only way in which we can attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. And there is, no matter what school or tradition, there's only one way for the Bodhisattva to actually do that. That is by perfecting the six paramitas, the six perfections. Now, there's various ways they can go about accomplishing that, but they have to accomplish that. That's how you actually go through your 10 stages of the Bodhisattva development and then becoming enlightened. So we're going to, as you see in here, the very first thing is the collecting of giving. Why do we say that one and then just group the other five somewhere else?
Because the other five are ways of perfecting your giving.
Exactly.
Giving is the basis of it all.
That's right. So our entire focus is on our generosity and the developing and the perfecting of that. Which is what this entire puja is. You notice in this puja, we don't have any wrathful anything. We're not casting any kind of, you know, we're going to, you know, put nails and spikes and all that. We're not doing any of this. We're not doing any magnetizing. We're not, oh, here's the hook and the lasso and we're going. We're not doing any of that. And we're not doing the other one. The only thing we're doing is generosity. Outward generosity. We're doing it in outer examples, which are all of the offerings, our prayers, and so forth. The prostrations we do, all of these are outward offering. When we get to the meditation portion, especially in the mantra and the transforming the mind worksheet, you should be switching to a tonglen. That is your inner offering. Because now you internalize everything. Further advancing the four immeasurables. That paragraph right after the generating bodhicitta. So you say, look, I'm going to do this. I'm going to perfect this generosity and the other perfections that go along in support with that. Except the last one. Prajna is what arises when you've done the other five. So I'm going to become a Buddha. Well, what does the Buddha's mind look like from the perspective of the Bodhisattva path? Right here. May all living beings everywhere have happiness in its causes. At the moment you say this, your entire intention, motivation, and focus should be on that thought. May they be free of suffering and its causes. That's the same thing as the first line. It's just so showing the other side of it. Look, I want them all to be happy. That means, by default, they're not suffering. Just to make that clear, that's what you're doing here. Third line, may they continuously dwell in this deep joy that transcends all sorrow and pain. And the last one, may they be free from the pangs of attachment and aversion. So the way this would look like in a TED talk is the guy would say, look, here's the idea. May all beings everywhere have happiness in its causes. What I mean by that is that they are free from all kinds of suffering. Specifically meaning that they always stay happy. Bottom line here, that they don't have any pangs of attachment and aversion. You see what just happened? The other three lines are just the continuation of the first line. You're just getting more and more deeper about it. Like you're talking to an audience that doesn't understand anything you said when you say the first one. You're saying this three times. Actually, you say it nine times because you have six times because you have that one phrase in the refuge that you're saying three times, which should be turning your mind. Okay, so I'm going to become a Buddha through the path of Bodhisattva. And I'm going to do it through perfection. Bang, now you're into four immeasurables three more times. You said it six times. At this point, you should be infused with this concept of what you're going to be doing now. This moment, which is not, I got to remember where to play my bell, I got to remember what mudra. It should all be the primary focus right here. So the seven limb prayer, or seven branch sometimes you'll see, is getting down to business. First I'm going to do, with reverence, is prostrate with body, speech, and mind. That's an act of generosity. It's one of the four forms of devotion that the Buddha teaches. It's actually the first one. Then, what are we going to do? Present clouds of offerings. Are those mindless? Who's ever done Thanksgiving dinner? Anyone ever done a Thanksgiving dinner?
Like hosted one?
Yeah. Oh. Or, you know, prepared a dish or whatever for it. Right? No one in St. Louis has done that? Oh, you have. Okay. I didn't know. These guys can't figure out whether they have ever given food or not. So I was distracted by them. All right, so when you're going to prepare this dish or host it, are you completely mindless about it?
No.
Like you just dump some stuff in a bowl, throw it in the microwave, hit go, and then you go off and play Atari? Whatever.
What year is it?
It's 1986.
Whatever. I mean, is that what you do?
No.
So when you're going to present clouds of offerings, and look at this. This is the brutal one here. This is the hook. This is the one that's going to get you. it says two types. Outer, right? Which means you got to pay attention because you're now going to be doing an outer offering. And you're also doing mentally transform. That means your mind can't be wandering all over the place. It means when we get to the offering section, you should be actually imagining in your mind. Imagine if you can't do the level of imaging. Two different things. Imaging, for those of you in the know, just a clarifier, that is the offering in the journey realm. If you don't know how to actually get your consciousness to that space, you use the imagination, mind's eye. And you visualize yourself holding up a bowl, and you have countless Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and since your one bowl won't feed all of them, you're going to do a Jesus Christ trick, in that a Dakini is going to come out of your musical instrument, if you have one that you're playing, and they will take your bowl, and as they fly from you, they will explode into as many Dakinis as there are Buddhas that you're offering to. And they're going to go and make the offering to the Buddha. They're actually going to walk up there or fly up there and lay it down right at the Buddha's foot. What if the Dakini takes off with your offering and goes, that one's for you. I'll skip that one over there. Is that how you want your Dakini? You see the parallel here? The thurifer, the person doing the sensing, is acting like the Dakini. A mindless Dakini is called a demon. Because they're worthless. They don't accomplish the goal. You think, oh, okay, I need this one to go to Amitabha. It's specifically red for him. And they fly off and they give it to a goat. And then you say to Amitabha, oh, Amitabha, bless all of these people. You know, I've given you this offering and my request is, and he goes, what offering? And you go, you know that red Dakini? I painted her up all red. I made this beautiful red ocean size offering and I sent it up to you. You didn't get it? No, I didn't get anything. Now you're going to have to go to the post office and flame them for not delivering the package. Don't be the post office that can't deliver a package. I just recently had a Dharma package returned to England because our carrier somehow couldn't find my house. So, in order to actually perform these activities properly, we're going to purify whatever negative garbage that we're bringing with us. So whatever junk that we've carried around with us from beginningless time until now, or probably more pressing, the stuff of yesterday or today, and you drag that into the Dharma Center, here you say, all right, well, I'm going to get rid of these negative actions. Now, this is kind of a tricky thing here because it says negative actions, but negative actions also come with, automatically, it's implied, the kleshas, the disturbing attitudes or emotions. So it's a complete package here. So all of my disturbing attitude and all of my disturbing behavior based on that, that's the stuff that I'm now purifying. Did anybody used to watch that show, How I Met Your Ma? A few of you? There's a guy on there who, whenever he wants to go out on dates, he says, "Suit up!" Because he always puts on a nice suit and tie and the whole thing. He's always trying to get his friends to stop wearing a t-shirt to go out to try and meet people. He always tells them, "You need to suit up." That's what we're doing here. We're suiting up. We're making ourselves presentable. See all these things? Those of you that wear robes? How come we don't wear these to work and wear jeans and t-shirts to the Dharma Center? Because this is the outer representation of suiting up internally. Purifying ourselves in order to do the activities of a bodhisattva. Because a corrupt bodhisattva can't do anything. Because their mind is somewhere else. As our example, we have the merits and virtues of not just all of the holy people, but there's tons of people out there that are not exactly spiritual figures who do fantastic things. Especially those of us in Minnesota, at a certain time of the year, everybody stops being mean and rude and all becomes very quite nice. You get your car stuck in our snow, the strangest thing will happen. People will all of a sudden be your friend and help you out.
But once it's all melted.
Oh yeah, once the snow is gone, everybody goes back to being demons. They aren't going to help you at all. They're just going to cuss you out for parking in front of their house. So, not too long ago, Ellie and I were in the car at night, and it was so cold, battery froze. And we could not get the car started. We had family come. They tried to jump it. It wouldn't work. I mean, it was shot. Some guy with a pickup truck the size of Texas just happens to, "Oh, what's going on over there? We can't get the car started." He comes over and he hooks this thing up. And, you know, it's so big, I thought it'd blow up the car. Starts it right up. And he's, "Oh, yeah, no problem." And he's got all this gear. He's like pulling all this gear out of this truck as if he's got nothing else to do. Late at night, I mean, it was cold. Freezing out there. I think it was negative 15 or something. It's horrible. That's an ordinary being who's demonstrating great virtuous work. Happens all over the place. These are our examples. Look, if even they can do it, shouldn't we be doing this if we're on the path? We're supposed to be aware of this. So we remind ourselves of that. Now we make our request. You enlightened ones that teach Dharma, you got to stay here. Because as long as there's this samsara, I'm disturbed. And I have no way out of here except for you guys to demonstrate it. Imagine how cool this place would be if every single person that attained enlightenment left. It would be one of 18 hell realms, because that's what those realms are. As soon as somebody's karma is done being there, they don't take anyone with them. They just, "Oh, hey, I'm out of here." And they go, like a terrible job, right? You're at work and you're just like, "Oh my God, I got 20 minutes to go." And the person sitting next to you goes, "Oh, I'm done, I'm out." And you're just like, "Oh man, didn't take me with you?" And they just laugh. "No, but I'll have a beer for you." You know, that kind of guy. Just makes you feel even worse that you're still stuck there. That's what it would be. So we asked them, "Please don't do that to me. Don't bail out." This is important. And then look at that last line there. "I'm going to dedicate all the merit generated by myself and all that I've seen of others." means all the merit that I've even perceived other people like generate, and I share in that corporately, I'm offering that too. That's what that means. If you ever have the opportunity to practice with another person, i.e. what you're doing every Sunday, you're sharing all of that. Because you're right back to being reminded about your bodhicitta. And the seven-limb prayer is sandwiched by the two. Generosity, bodhicitta. And we go right into offerings. So after all of the mentally thinking about and all of the imagery and all of the preparing your mind for, now is when you get to do. This is your activity portion. This is when you should outwardly express all the stuff that you've just created academically or however you've approached it. So when you're ringing the bell, if you're setting up the bowls, if you're the thurifer, if whatever it is that you're doing, if you're doing the mudras, anything at all, this is your time to express it. If you don't know how, for those of you adults, because Lee there is exempt from this, but anybody over the age of probably 8, you have to pretend like you're a little kid. Pretend that all of those Buddhas are actually in front of you and you're going to now do it. Hey, I'm giving you this thing. Oh, look, I'm creating an entire universe with my hands. You know, like little kids, they play in the mud and they make little cakes. I'm going to make a cake in the air. And look at this. Oh, look at that water. Crystal clear for you to wash and drink. You've never seen a candle like this before. You want perfume? Chanel's got nothing on this one. Think, what would you give them if you had the opportunity to meet Shakyamuni Buddha in person? What would you give them? If you had if you were like, what's his name, Bill Gates, right? All of them, just unlimited money, what would you provide, what would you offer the Buddha? Would you go with a sandwich from Jimmy John's, or would you be like, hey, so I'm giving you one of absolutely everything that I can possibly find. Here's a mala out of diamonds. Oh, and here's one's rubies, and this one is emeralds, and I got one here that's sapphires. And you just keep going, right? And eventually you'd just be like, you know what, screw all that. Here's me. Take it. Do whatever you want. That's your approach. As thurifers, very important for you to do act as thurifer. You are the outward representative of all of those people's wishes like that. What time do we have?
11.
All right. We have to, due to our samayas, our commitments, we have to read sutra.